Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
So we'll rock on now. I'm joined now by Lisha McGrath, who's a chartered work and organisational psychologist and also a shaman. Hi, Lisha.
Hi, how are you?
And you're going to give us some tips on thriving in winter, I guess. So you'd be in tune with the rhythms of the life and the seasons and everything. Is it natural that we would slow down a bit at this time of the year, and it's okay, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. It's expected. When you think of winter, you think of cold weather, maybe wet weather, a bit of snow. So weather that would bring us indoors, light fires, get cozy with blankets. We're even expected to eat different kinds of foods. There's different nutrition in root vegetables, for example, that we would need. So what we find, though, very often, instead of leaning into this, a lot of people struggle with it because they kind of want to think it's summer all year round. They want to be outside the whole time. And of course, societally, we value productivity, being out and about, all that kind of thing. So a lot of times people can struggle.
So a little bit of acceptance then is...
Yeah, a little bit of reframing, I think. Because if we don't come into balance at this time of year, then we can't regenerate and refuel ourselves for the other. You know, we have four seasons that kind of call us to do different things.
Okay, so there is that we need to nourish ourselves in this and to regrow again. The light is can be a killer for a lot of people. Like, and the evenings are very, I think, particularly dark this year. But we do get those fabulous bright days. I presume light is important, is to get as much as we can, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that light or the absence of light can have a chemical change in the brain. And we know that there's a thing called seasonal affective disorder where people can have depressive symptoms. But, you know, we are bright usually from about 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. So if we can get out there without the sunglasses on, get the light on your eyeballs is really important as well for sleep schedules and things like that. And even during the summer, you know, we do make vitamin D if we allow ourselves to have a little bit of sun and not be kind of, you know, hiding in the shade all summer long. If we do let ourselves get some sun on our limbs, we actually stockpile vitamin D. Of course, we can supplement it as well. And if you are somebody who's affected by a seasonal affective disorder, there are different lamps and things like that that you can get.
Do they work,
I mean, I you know, I'm not a clinical psychologist, but I certainly have heard that they do have a lot of strong benefits associated with those lamps, yeah.
A lot of people now are going to start, I think, creating stress a lot of the time in the run-up to, as we come into the run-up to Christmas. Like, people do seem to make it a stressful time. How practical tips on avoiding that?
Well, I think we need to be able to, you know, there's any amount of stuff we could be doing and, you know, any amount of invitations we could say yes to. So I think we need to be a little bit maybe grown up about it and just kind of look at the ones. What are the ones you really want to do? Who are the people you want to see? Where do you want to be? And really lean into and enjoy those. A lot of my clients actually say to me that they can't do enjoyment. They can't feel joy anymore. So I would really encourage people to do the stuff that they want to do and then in a very guilt-free but firm way, say no thank you to the other stuff and set about refueling yourself after you've had, you know, if it's three nights out in a row or, you know, going to all those things. So bringing balance again. Go out and enjoy yourself, but bring balance and don't feel guilty about saying no. Like, we have January and February and March and months,
so
you know,
bit of
we don't need to panic. Yeah.
And we kind of know ourselves as well what's feeding us and what's draining us at any time, don't we really?
Well, some people do. I talk a lot in my work about what I call the self-connection phenomenon, Brendan, and it seems to me to exist on a spectrum from some people who don't know that they have a self at all to be connected to, right up into people who would never be disconnected from themselves. So I often say to my clients, look, in a really proactive way and all through your life, get to know yourself. What are the things that nourish you? What are the things that drain you? And when you look ahead and your diary has loads of work things or, you know, big project or Christmas or loads of late nights, actively put in time to nourish yourself as much as possible ahead of time, but certainly after the event as well, because we've kind of normalized this notion of being tired all the time and needing 5 pints of coffee in the morning and that kind of stuff. And it's not really normal. You hear about the wired and tired people who go to bed, fall asleep, and then they're wide awake at 3 o'clock in the morning because our cortisol is on fire from all the stuff that we're doing during the day. So I'd really encourage people to, again, that word balance, balance, balance. Get to know yourself. Just because somebody on Instagram says you should do this, it doesn't necessarily mean it nourishes you, but get to know yourself, because the things that nourish and drain you will change over time. So with my clients, you know, I teach tools to get to know yourself rather than telling people what to do, because I think that's far more powerful.
Okay. What are the tools? Could you tell me quickly?
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, well, even things like get a notebook for yourself and start to notice, where do I feel tired? Where do I feel exhausted? Where do I feel drained? Where do I feel resourced? And start to notice those things. And even, you know, for the purposes of this show, really quickly, do more of the stuff that makes you feel better and do less of the stuff that exhausts you. Like, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
But as you say, sometimes we can overcomplicate things.
Just one final thing on the Christmas thing. Two recommendations you have. One is about that women can tend to take on more of what we would call the social responsibilities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also you're saying get the kids involved in helping with stuff.
Yeah, we know from the data that around the world, women do more of this social capital and the second shift, and that's just factual. So, you know, and there's a higher autoimmune disease and everything like that for women. So I think the thing is delegate, carve up the tasks, get the kids involved at an age-appropriate level, of course, but get everyone excited, you know, working towards the same thing rather than one person feeling that they have to do it all, you know.
Do women do that to themselves?
We're socialised, I would argue, to do most of it. It's not, I don't think, that women get up every day and think, oh, I know, I'm just going to take on everything for everyone. We are very definitely socialised that way. And it's reinforced through the messaging that we get. And there's a lot of data around that. So it is important that we start to, I think, break that cycle. And I think when you get the kids involved, and not like it's chores, but just like, oh, this is so exciting. We're getting ready for Christmas. What job do you want to do? What, you know, this is, you know, and then it's exciting for them. So it's not a chore. It's not an onerous thing. It's just part of being a family. And I think that's super healthy, and it helps to break that cycle in a positive manner.
You can forget to enjoy things, can't you?
But you see, that's the thing. And so many of my clients, genuinely, it breaks my heart. They tell me they can't feel joy because they're doing all these things for other people. Isn't that just so sad? I mean, it's real. It's really, really real.
Okay, so we have to consciously break that. And it's in deep there. It's in deep. Leisha McGrath, Chartered Work and Organisational Psychologist and Shaman, thank you.